Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, spring is here, and don't we love spring? It's beautiful outside. It's sunny. The weather is crisp, not too hot, usually not too cold. But there's always a but. It's also a time of the year for seasonal allergies. Plants, they start releasing that pollen. Millions of us are suffering then with hay fever, start to sniffle, start to sneeze, eyes get puffy. We get miserable even though it looks and feels great outside. So what do we do? Tonight we have a doctor in the house. It's a Medical Monday, and she will answer all of your questions about your allergies and how to deal with them and how not to let them drive you crazy. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Do you have some questions about combating your allergies or whether or not you are allergic to something or it may be something else? We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight is Autumn Burnett. She's an assistant professor with the Howard University Hospital's Division of Allergies. Dr. Burnett, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all your listeners on tonight.
Now, Dr. Burnett, we have heard from researchers that allergy season has come a little earlier this year than normal. Is that the case? And if it is the case, why do you think it has come early?
It appears to be that researchers are saying that pollen season is now, just generally speaking, going to land earlier. I think we've been seeing this in the last decade. Every year, it just seems to be a week earlier that people begin to experience spring allergy symptoms. And what we generally know is that, you know, this has a lot to do with global warming, the climate changes. As we get some of our drier climates are getting drier, and some of our southern areas of the country are experiencing spring weeks earlier than they normally would. And so knowing that the seasons are approaching earlier, we researchers are now looking into the impact of global warming on seasons just entering earlier. And so spring season allergy symptoms, yes, are starting earlier. We've been seeing a trend over the last couple of years.
And so, Dr. Burnett, so that means now we're going to suffer for longer in this spring season. But what can we do to kind of help us? You know, my lead-in was like, you know, I know spring is probably my favorite season in terms of the weather, and my allergies aren't terrible, but I think I'm allergic to something with grasses and molds or something like that. Usually it's my eyes that take a beating. So what can we do? Is there anything new out there, or is it just pretty much the basic things that we always need to do, either wear glasses or either take over-the-counter medications or get allergy tests or get a shot? What are your recommendations on how best to handle our allergies during allergy season?
I think it really depends on someone's level of symptoms. I mean, some people are really mild and they do okay just by taking their usual typical over-the-counter medications like oral antihistamines or nasal sprays. Now we know most of them are over-the-counter. And so you can readily, easily help yourself, if you will, just by going to your local drugstore. And a lot of people kind of know, you know, if they have mild allergy symptoms, they kind of know what works for them every year. But what I generally tell people is if you're kind of managing this on your own, just make sure you start 2 weeks before the season starts so that the medication is on board before the symptoms go out of control. But overall, you know, if someone is having more moderate or severe allergy symptoms, that's kind of when I feel like they should get some medical attention, maybe even have allergy testing done. And if they're really suffering, the true allergy sufferers, you know, there's always a local allergist that would be more than happy to allergy test someone to see if they are candidates for allergen immunotherapy, or what we call allergy shots.
Well, you kind of sort of answered part of my question that I was going to have, because, you know, for me, I'm still not really sure what I'm allergic to, but like I said, I think it's something with grasses. And years ago, I didn't even know I had allergies. I'm going to be honest. The season would come. It would get warm. My then girlfriend would want to go shopping, and I would always be suffering. And I thought it was just that I hated going to the mall because I'd always would have a headache and I wouldn't feel good. And she thought it was about the mall. And years later, I can say now, I really think it was my allergies that were kicking in. I didn't know I had allergies. So if you don't know anything about allergies or know what you're allergic to, should you be going to a doctor before you go over the counter, or can you go just get some sort of mild allergy medicine to kind of figure out what works? What would be your advice for someone like me who didn't know?
Again, I really think it's how bad off are you? I feel like, you know, if people are really truly noticing a seasonal component, every spring I'm sneezing, my nose is running, I'm clearing my throat, my ears are itching, my eyes are red, watery, and puffy. I can't seem to, you know, I'm getting sinus headaches, or I can't seem to get through, you know, May through June because I'm miserable. You know, that kind of, if you will, symptomatology kind of screams allergies. And so I think it wouldn't hurt maybe to start something, you know, like an over-the-counter allergy pill or an over-the-counter allergy nasal spray. But by all means, I think the threshold is low for people who are very miserable, who are really suffering, who are not improving with just your typical over-the-counter nasal sprays or allergy pills. I think, you know, but everyone is different, and everyone's threshold for needing to be seen may be different. I think a lot of allergy sufferers, you know, can manage things, you know, fairly well for a couple of months on their own. But I think when it's not very manageable, or when, like you said, your girlfriend is like, why can't you go to the mall with me? It's interfering with your social life, you know. I think that's when you may need some extra attention.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Or tonight we're talking about the spring season and allergies. They go hand in hand. I did make it through it, Dr. Burnett, because we ended up getting married. So, it worked out. And I did figure out I'm allergic, you know, to something. It's not really the mold, but I think it's pollen. Let me ask you how the pandemic has sort of affected how we deal with allergies. Over the past 2 years, we've had to wear masks inside and out, and we do know that there are allergens in your house, indoors and outside. How have masks affected how we've dealt with allergies? Has it made it better for us actually wearing those masks in relation to allergies?
You know, interestingly, it kind of went both ways. I think it kind of goes both ways with mask wearing. You know, of course, if you're outdoors and you're wearing a mask and you're actually outdoors, I have found that a lot of patients have come to me and they're like, wow, you know, I wasn't as bad last year, or the year that I was wearing my mask on a daily basis. My allergies weren't as bad, or my asthma wasn't as bad. But again, like you said, you know, if we're spending more time indoors, we're not necessarily in our home. We're not necessarily wearing our mask in our home. But we're spending more time indoors. So yes, you could be more exposed to the dander in your house or dust mites in your house. You know, so it was a catch-22. It kind of went both ways. Maybe more exposure if you were inside of your home to indoor allergens, and maybe less exposure if you are actually wearing a mask outdoors during the pollen season. But it's going to be interesting now that the mask mandates are lifting in a lot of places. It'll actually be interesting to see if now more allergy sufferers are suffering more now that the mask mandates are being lifted. So, and now we're right into the spring season. And people want to get outdoors now because of a lot of the lifting of the restrictions. So it will be interesting. Are we going to spend more time outdoors? Are we going to be taking those masks off? And are our allergies going to increase. And something tells me that that might, yes, be the case.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about allergy season and what we can do to kind of help us enjoy the spring season, especially from now until June when it really is at its height in terms of our allergies, and how we can be make our life rather uncomfortable if we're not taking the right medication or if we don't have any idea what we're allergic to. The doctor is in the house. This is a Medical Monday. She is Dr. Autumn Burnett, assistant professor with Howard University's Hospital Division of Allergies. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Burnett, before we go over to break on the Sirius XM side, you had mentioned dust mites, and I also mentioned how there are allergens in the house. And you hear that term dust mites. Is that literally a thing as in like an insect, or is it just dust that comes up in the air?
So that's a great question. A lot of people ask that. They get confused. Dust mites, yes, are actual mites, but they're microscopic and you cannot see them with the naked eye. You have to actually visualize them under a microscope. But they are real mites, and they actually like to cling onto fiber, things such as the inside of your mattress, which has a fiber in it,
mm-hmm.
or the inside of the pillow, or upholstered furniture, carpeting, or heavy curtains, anything that holds like a fiber kind of consistency. They kind of cling onto that, and they thrive off of your dead skin cells.
Hmm.
So that's where they get their nourishment.
But not dust?
So dust is not necessarily equivalent to dust mites.
Mm-hmm.
However, dust can, if it's, you know, if someone inhales dust particles that say maybe have allergens like cat dander or dog dander, that can become airborne. Like dust can become airborne and people can be affected by whatever is in the dust. Now, mind you, dust can contain many allergens. If you leave your window open, dust can contain the pollen that comes from the outdoors into your home.
Mm-hmm.
So dust in and of itself is kind of a general term, but because dust in and of itself can contain many allergens. And so dust can be a factor for people, but specifically people are allergic to dust mites.
Okay.
And the excrement from dust mites, which is an actual allergenic part of the dust mite, is their excrement.
Okay, and none of that sounds good.
Yeah, I know, which is interesting.
We're going to take a quick
inhale that.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on whur.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay right there. If you're on the line, Melissa, we will get to you. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I am Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about dust mites, pollen, mold, trees, flowers, anything that can cause our allergies to kick in, especially during this time of year. It can be a great time of year in terms of the weather. We're outside, we're moving about, but because these flowers are blooming and the pollen is all over the place, which flowers need to bloom, it also works against us humans who have allergies. And so how do we combat that and still enjoy the season? So we're talking about that tonight. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Do you have allergies and have some questions about maybe how you can better control them, or what kind of medicines you should be taking, or should you even take any medicines? This is the time to give us a call. A doctor is in the house on this Medical Monday. Let's go to the phone lines. Melissa is calling from Waldorf. Go right ahead, Melissa, with your question or comment.
The doctor, is it true that if you take local honey, that it helps with your allergies?
That's a great question. And I think because local honey, yes, has, you know, essentially there's pollen, if you will, in local honey, if you will. There may be a very low level effect from that in terms of maybe helping minimize some allergy symptoms, but it really may not be significant enough for a lot of allergy sufferers to see a huge difference. But a lot of people, yes, will try to source their local honey for those local, you know, potential pollens that may be in that local honey. Again, you know, it's a natural way of kind of trying to maybe do a natural form of desensitization, but there's really not enough, I would say, allergen there for the real allergy sufferers to see a huge difference.
Okay, I have one more question. Is it true that honey is a natural cough suppressant?
Yes, absolutely. If you have a cough or sore throat or itchy throat, irritated throat, honey is one of the best things that you can do. It coats the throat, if you will. Warm water with a little bit of lemon and honey is a very nice tonic to soothe the throat.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. Great questions. Dr. Burnett, you mentioned you and Melissa said local honey. Is that different from some other type of honey? What is local honey?
Local is it's sourced from your local region, meaning you wouldn't want to get local honey from California if you live in Virginia.
So it makes a difference in
yes,
terms of...
Yes, because the allergens are local to wherever the region is. So let's just say you're an allergy sufferer from Virginia allergens, pollen that's in Virginia. You wouldn't want to source your local honey from California because the local pollens are different in California. The regions are different. The allergens are different in California versus Virginia. So you would... If you're an allergy sufferer, you would want to get the pollen. Essentially, you would want to be desensitized to the pollen that's in your local region because that's the pollen that you're going to be symptomatic to.
So you're not necessarily buying. You should not want to buy honey that is like a large scale manufacturer. You're looking for something that's specific that says Mid-Atlantic region honey or however it would be termed. Correct.
You would want to make sure you're in that region.
I see.
So if you're in Virginia, you want to make sure that is a local, that's a local sourced honey from Virginia.
Right.
But again, I mean, I can't put a whole lot of weight on that just to kind of, you know, be clear about that. There's very minimal desensitization that's going to take place with local sourced honey. It sounds great. In theory, it's a natural way, but it's really, I mean, if you just have the mildest allergy symptoms, then you can try it. But any real allergy sufferers, that's just not going to be sufficient.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a Medical Monday, and tonight we're talking about allergy season and allergies and how we can handle them during the height of the allergy season, which is we're right in it right now. So if you have a question, you have a comment, have some confusion about allergies and what you should be doing about them, or if you have children, how you should treat them and their allergies, this is a good time to give us a call. 202-319-7810. Dr. Burnett, you know, honey falls under the sort of food issue. What about food allergies? We've been talking about environmental allergies at this point, but food allergies, that's an all-year-round situation, or does the environment also play havoc on your allergies if you have food allergies? Are those just two totally separate, different things?
You know, that is a great question. There are certain foods, and that can actually, they can actually cause problems for people that suffer from pollen allergy. They're what we call food families. So people that suffer from tree pollen allergy or grass pollen allergy or weed pollen allergy, there are several foods within those individual pollen families that are very closely related in terms of their protein structure. So let's just say, for instance, if a person is allergic to birch tree, which in this area of D.C., there are a lot of birch tree sufferers. In this particular area, there's a lot of birch tree pollen. And so I quite often get this in my practice where patients will come in and they're highly allergic to birch tree, and they're allergic to certain foods within the same protein family as birch tree. And those can be pitted fruits like apples, peaches, plums, cherries. Those can also be tree nuts like hazelnut and almond. And it can also be peanut and soy. And also other things like carrot or white potato. So interestingly, there are certain pollen, tree pollen, weed pollen, grass pollen, that actually have several fruits, vegetables, and nuts that are within the same protein family. So you can potentially have food allergic reactions or cross-reactivity food reactions purely based on if you are pollen allergic. So that's kind of something that may be a seasonal food allergy. And of course, we have patients that don't necessarily have pollen allergy and are just allergic. For instance, they may be allergic to fish or shellfish, which has no seasonality.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there are some fruits, vegetables, and nuts specifically related to people that suffer from pollen allergy, since we are talking about pollen right now.
And Dr. Burnett, what trees in this area should you mentioned some, you know, and please repeat it for me. There are specific trees in the Washington metropolitan area that sort of produce more pollen and sort of cause more issues with our allergies. Can you mention that again, the specific, trees in our area?
There's several trees in this eastern mid-Atlantic region, but I think most commonly we think about maple tree, oak tree, birch tree, hickory tree. So those are kind of, the ones that are kind of common to this mid-Atlantic eastern region.
Okay. Because I'm looking at this long list of trees, right?
It's a long list.
Some of my notes, ash, aspen, beech, box edler, cedar, cottonwood,
all of those.
Cypress, elm, hickory, juniper, maple, mulberry, oak, olive, palm, pine, poplar, sycamore, willow.
Yep.
Dr. Burnett, how am I to know which one of these trees I shouldn't plant in my backyard?
That is where allergy testing is very useful.
Okay.
Okay, that's why I exist, is to help people know which tree they should not put in their backyard or which tree they should look out for in terms of when it's going to pollinate. Because trees pollinate roughly 2 weeks out of each particular tree pollinates roughly 2 weeks out of the spring, and then they no longer pollinate.
Mm-hmm.
But you just named off about 15 trees there. So think about it. If you're only allergic to one tree, you may only have symptoms during the two-week period that one particular tree, let's just say it's birch tree, that one particular two-week period of the spring, you probably will only be symptomatic around that two-week period. However, if you're allergic to all of those trees, then you know it's going to be your whole spring.
Uh-oh. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday, and we're talking about dealing with your allergies, or at least trying to, maintain them so you can at least have an enjoyable spring. Our guest tonight is Dr. Autumn Burnett, assistant professor with Howard University's Hospital Division of Allergies. Dr. Burnett, you said when you're talking about treating allergies, that's where you come in to figure out what it is that a patient might be allergic to. So how confident should we be, whether we're seeing Dr. Burnett or Dr. Bryant or Dr. Atkins, that if we take this allergy test, it is going to accurately tell us what we're allergic to? And is there a specific test that's more accurate than others?
So are you asking, is there an allergy test more likely to show better results than another allergy test?
Yes, that's a better way to frame it.
So there's several ways to do allergy testing. There's skin testing, and then you can also get pretty equivalent results from blood testing. So it really just depends on, you know, how the patient and the provider want to go about testing the patient. But they're both what I would consider fairly equivalent in terms of accuracy, in terms of matching up, if you will. So you can do them either way, skin testing, or you can do a blood allergy test, which is an IgE, immunoglobulin E, IgE test. But the skin test tests for IgE in the skin, the IgE reaction of the mast cells in the skin, and then you can also look at a very similar thing if you just get IgE for any particular allergen in the blood work. So they're fairly equivalent when it comes to accuracy. So it's really just up to the patient and the provider.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about the spring weather, beautiful trees blossoming, flowers blooming, but it also means that our allergies start to kick in around this time. And so what do we do to make sure we can still function even in this nice weather, but with the pollen and anything else that's sort of causing you problems, whether it's mold or mites or inside your house, any of these things, we're talking about it tonight. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Burnett, what role does the weather play, whether it's windy, whether it's raining? Does that matter? Does that affect what's out there, especially when we're outside, and how our allergies may kick in or may sort of decline?
So just in general, climate change and you know, is that a factor?
Let's say it's a rainy day and it rains. Does that help? Does that hurt? How should we look at it? If we're suffering, should we be hoping for rain? If, you know, if we're allergic, say, to pollen?
The answer to that is yes. rain generally will wash away the pollen in the air. And so what most allergy sufferers, at least pollen sufferers, are concerned about when they go outside is what's in the air. And so an allergy sufferer's worst fear is a dry, warm, windy day. Hmm. And so their best friend is when the rain washes away all of that airborne pollen.
Rain. Do not go away if you're an allergy sufferer. 202-319-7810. Still a few more minutes to get in your questions or comments. It's a Medical Monday. Dr. Autumn Burnett is in the house to answer all of your questions regarding allergies and how we can best handle them during this spring season. This is the Insight segment. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll be right back. It's XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I am Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Dr. Burnett, talk to me about natural remedies for allergies. Can they be effective? Can they be more effective than, say, prescription drugs or over-the-counter medication?
I'll be honest, I'm not a naturopath. I am, you know, my practice of medicine is generally more, you know, focused in on diagnosis and conventional treatment. Mm-hmm. That's just the way that I practice medicine. Now, mind you, there are naturopaths that exist, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's, you know, that person's choice. What I consider to be a more natural approach is to avoid the allergen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, cooking up things in the kitchen with you know, from Whole Foods is probably not my area. What I would suggest if someone wants a more natural approach is to attempt to avoid the allergens. And what does that mean? Like, if you're allergic to cats, there's a cat in the home, you know, there are things that you can do, keep the cat out of the bedroom. If possible, bathe the cat. I know that sounds strange. People don't necessarily bathe their cats, but it does help reduce the dander you know, if they have a bed that they sleep in, you know, try to clean the bed as often so that there's not as much cat dander or dander in general. If mm-hmm. they're, if possible, get a HEPA filter to try to remove some of the dust particles or particulate matter in the house. Try to absorb those from the air.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Doc.
Keep the doors and windows closed. Mm-hmm. Bathe when you come in from outside. You know you've been rolling around on the grass. Immediately come in and bathe the allergen off your skin and hair. Wash your eyes out. Clean your nose out with saline. So there's things that you can do that I feel are natural approaches, but it has more to do with avoidance.
And you mentioned HEPA filters, and I've seen this in some of my research, and I've heard about it. What is a HEPA filter, and what makes that better, say, than just a general filter?
It's just better at extrapolating particulate matter and allergens from the air inside of your home. And they're best used in the room that you would want, that you spend the most time, the living room, the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not the end-all, be-all for allergy sufferers. Because if you have a cat in the house, that cat dander is going to be airborne pretty much throughout the home. So mm-hmm. it would be important to try to make sure the cat's not in the bedroom, make sure the cat's not in the bed, or the main room that you normally go in. You know, but those HEPA filters can sometimes take those particles. It can help. It doesn't. That's not a cure. It's not the end all be all. But you know, if you kind of combine all of these things, they generally tend to help. And of course, to be honest, allergen immunotherapy is the most natural approach. Why? Because you're actually giving someone what they're allergic to desensitize them. So if they're allergic to cat, you're giving them cat and desensitizing the cat. Technically speaking, allergy shots is the most natural approach that you can possibly take because you're just desensitizing to the allergen itself.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We have a few more moments here on our topic tonight, dealing with allergies during this spring season. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Judella is calling from Virginia. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
I was just calling to see exactly I'm an individual who has never had allergies, but I've been in Virginia for many years. But however, the last 10 years, I've developed an allergy to when the pollen, the trees start blooming. And I was just wondering, what is it that caused, you know, it's just, you know, do I just became allergic to it? What actually happened that, you know?
It happens all the time.
Allergies?
This is a highly allergic region of the country. There's a lot more trees, a lot of grass, a lot of weeds. And so quite often people will say, I didn't have any problems until I moved to the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area. And it's just because there's a high volume of pollen in this area. And so, yeah, some people, they were doing okay until they moved to a region such as the Mid-Atlantic region here where it's just a high volume of pollen in the air. And so people generally tend to become more sensitized the longer they're in an area where the volume of pollen is really high.
All right.
Okay, and then one other thing, my son, I had a child after the age of 31, which that was my third child, and that's when I developed a shellfish allergy. Had not had that prior.
That is common as well. Shellfish and fish and even nuts are what we call highly allergenic proteins. The protein structure of those foods is a highly allergenic protein structure, and it's one of those things where people can grow into fish, shellfish, or nut allergy because of the high allergenicity of those proteins. So it's quite common for adults to have eaten maybe shellfish their whole life, and then all of a sudden in their mid-30s, they actually become symptomatic to something they may have been sensitized to their whole lives but just not showing any symptoms. But I see this quite often where, you know, someone's eating these things their whole life, and then all of a sudden in their adult life, they actually start to develop symptoms to those highly allergenic proteins. And so I generally tell people seafood and nuts are things, are food allergens with a highly allergenic protein structure that you can actually grow into the older you get. And generally, when people develop the symptoms of shellfish allergy as an adult, generally it tends to be more severe.
Well, thank you so much, Judella. Great questions.
Thank you.
Great questions. Dr. Burnett, in our last few moments, you mentioned that folks can grow into allergies. Can you grow out of an allergy? Can you outgrow an allergy?
Well, depends on which allergy. Some foods are outgrown. Milk, egg, wheat, and soy are generally outgrown by the time a child enters kindergarten. However, that's not always the case. We see people now are continuing along into adulthood with those common allergens. But those are the ones that we commonly think of in terms of food. Milk, egg, wheat, and soy that are usually typically outgrown, but it's definitely not always the case. In terms of environmental allergies, I would say that it can fluctuate over time. You know, some people just may or may not be as symptomatic during certain time frames of their life. And it's all based on your immune system, and everybody's immune system is different. So I feel like some people may have mild allergy symptoms some years, and then it may be more severe in other years.
Does stress have any effect on allergy symptoms?
Stress can impact asthma for sure. And I talk to patients all the time about, my asthma seems to be worse when I get anxious so I think in particular for lower respiratory tract symptoms, stress may be a factor. I don't necessarily know if there's a direct impact of hay fever from stress, although someone who has very severe hay fever might be stressed out.
Well, Dr. Burnett, in our last few moments, are there any thoughts or advice you'd like to offer our listeners, something maybe I hadn't asked you that's important for folks out there to know about allergies and the spring season and allergy season in general?
You know, I think, this particular area of the country, I think it's just important for people to know that those seasons are starting earlier. I generally tell people early February is where you want to start your allergy regimen, your allergy medication. Don't wait, because the longer you wait, the more severe your symptoms will be. And it's harder to get them under control if you're already very, very flared. So I would just say making sure there's consistency with taking the allergy medication, starting and stopping and starting and stopping, may not necessarily get you the plateau of result of improvement that you're looking for. So being routine about allergy medicines during the worst time of year for a person, and then starting early, at least 2 weeks before the season hits, and then maybe even going 2 weeks after the typical end of that pollen season for that person.
And Dr. Burnett, are there any websites or sites that folks could go to get more information, whether it's contacting you or the Howard Hospital site, or specific websites that can help folks get even more information?
I think it's important with pollen season approaching that people know the pollen count. There's local news stations sometimes will post the pollen count. The Weather Channel will post pollen counts, and also the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, the QAAI, AAAAI, will also have a resource where you can be directed to see the local pollen count. So I think it's important to know the weather and to know the pollen count for those allergy sufferers.
Folks, do not rub your eyes. Wash your hands. If you come inside from being outside with a high pollen count, make sure you take a shower, take those clothes off, wash your clothes, wash your sheets. Vacuum your floor, use a HEPA filter, use some nasal spray, saline, wash your nose out. Let's see, what have I left out, Dr.
Burnett?
You
got the whole list. Wow, that's great.
Did I get it? Yeah, see, I was listening. So,
yeah.
And I'm going to make sure I take that on, too. And stop rubbing your eyes, because I think it sort of also darkens the circles under your eyes. And,
it sure does.
And that's not good. She is Dr. Autumn Burnett, assistant professor with Howard University's Hospital Division of Allergies. Dr. Burnett, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with us your expertise.
I'm so appreciative of you inviting me in for the listeners this evening. And everyone, have a great evening.
And thank you so much. And that's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, March 21st. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.